I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile Smart Quad Door Refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense auto fill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hello, everyone. We're back. Second video of the day, Sam. We've got some more prices to talk about, haven't we?
Long time no see.
Long time no see. Sorry, I should start with my normal hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout and podcast. It is 4:30 on a Friday now, so I'm starting to kind of get that winding down feeling. But I'm also getting perked up because prices keep getting announced.
Here.
Yep. It's exciting, right?
And it is.
We have Brighton prices. Woo!
Do you know, when you said to me earlier, oh, we might, if, you know, if there's more prices, we might come back on later. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. No problem. And then, like, literally as we were going to come on, it was Brighton. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Couldn't have got more perfect for you, could you?
Put the call in. That's what I did. That's me knowing Mark. You know, I dictate exactly when the price. I know all the prices anyway. You know, I know every single
Don't.
One.
Just... Absolute nonsense.
I wish.
Pure luck.
I wish. Cool. Let's get straight into it then. So we've had 3 teams since we did the Arsenal video. We've had Manchester City, we've had Brentford, and we've had Brighton. So they started right at the top, best team in the league. And then, no disrespect to Brentford or Brighton, but came down a little bit. But there are some good options for all of
those
these teams.
Those 2 teams, the most interesting,
there
actually.
There is. Yeah. Well, we'll start with probably the most interesting one of all of them, which has got kind of everyone talking, which is Haaland, of course. Haaland coming in cheaper than anyone predicted, I think. Mm-hmm. Coming in 11.5. I've FPL had him at 12. The Fantasy Football Scout Survey had him at 12. I think everyone expected to see him at 12. But 11.5, that's in keeping with like Lukaku last season. I mean, I don't think we've seen too many players come from abroad and come in higher than 11.5. So, you know, it's kind of fair on that respect. But he's going to be like... 80% owned or something, isn't he? Like that is a cheap price for Haaland.
It is definitely. I mean, I was expecting 12, if not 12.5. I was kind of like, where are they going to put Kane? Because it was that kind of conversation, I think, wasn't it? Where do you put Kane? And then how do you tie in Haaland and Kane and Ronaldo? Like, how do they work as a trio of premium forwards? Who's going to be priced how and where? And I think for me, I thought Haaland would be a little bit cheaper than Kane, and therefore if a little bit cheaper than Kane, maybe it does make sense that he's 11.5. And like you say, players coming into the game, you never really know how they're going to come in. Are they going to come in all guns blazing? Are they going to come in, take a little while to settle? Are they going to get game time straight away in Pep City team, you know, because that's another factor, isn't it? But I think at 11.5, he is at a really, really nice price point for thinking, oh, that feels like a bargain. I want to invest there because he's cheaper than KDB as well. So suddenly you've got that, oh, yeah. I can invest in City, 0.5 cheaper.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting how they do price some of the other strikers. I think Kane is going to be a really interesting one. I mean, if Kane comes in at 10.5, for example, or 11 with the Southampton fixture first, you might see some people getting him in and then looking to switch over. If he smashes it against Southampton, maybe you don't. Sell him, and maybe you do move. We're all waiting for Son's classification. Does Son come in as an 11 million or 11.5 striker? Doesn't look like it at the moment. I'm not seeing too many of these. I mean, we'll talk about Mbombo in a bit. He's been shifted from a mid to a forward. But yeah, we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Son. I mean, and Salah, I guess, but I can't see them move.
Signed a contract, hasn't he?
He has indeed. Signed a new contract.
If you've missed that in all of their price releases today.
I think the problem is if they price Kane, Son, you know, and these other strikers at 11.5, there's just going to be no decision to be made, because why would you get, and like Ronaldo, for example, if Ronaldo comes in at 11, 11.5, it's just always going to go for Haaland out of those options. So how they price the other players, I think, will tell us, you know, how good this price is for Haaland. Because if they're all similar, I just can't see anyone going without Haaland. But if they are cheaper, interesting, then maybe it gives you a bit of a decision to make. But
just can't see Kane being cheaper than 11.5. Can you really? Honestly think he's going to be less? I just can't see that happening.
I mean, for the first 6 weeks, though, if you're picking one of Haaland or Kane, there's no way you're going for Kane. Unless you go Kane for the first week and then switch. I can't see any way in which you'd pick Kane over Haaland, personally.
No, I mean, I sort of agree with
you're
given
biased,
the fixtures.
So you're...
I mean, I do agree with you given the fixtures. I just think, you know, I look at that 11.5 price tag and I just can't see it. When the game goes live, we're going to find out, aren't we, anyway? But I can't see that Kane is less than 11.5. I just don't think that will be the case, because I just can't see it. And the same with Ronaldo. You know, when you think about where he was priced last time around, like, I'm really intrigued to have those prices now, because I think the Haaland one has made me even more interested than I perhaps was before, because I was expecting 12 and now it's 11.5. And all these 0.5 savings make you feel like, oh, I'm starting to see, now I've had these first four teams, starting to see how I can build a team and where the budget's going to go. And that's quite a handy tool. And then when you're looking at teams like Brighton, who I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little bit,
of course,
start to see a lot of value. And then you go, oh, well, actually, if I go for these couple of 4.5s, then now I'm in with a nice place where I can have maybe an extra premium here or there. So interesting times. I do like the Haaland price, though. I think it's fair.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yep. We'll see what happens with some of the other prices as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Haaland, who gets through pre-season with no injury, I think he's going to be in pretty much everyone's side. I mean, the other option is De Bruyne. I mean, De Bruyne is at 12. So as you said, he is more expensive than Haaland. I mean, there's no way he's 12 if he didn't get those four goals against Wolves. He's coming in cheaper than Haaland if he didn't get those four goals. He's coming in at 11, I reckon. So those goals have really boosted him up. 12 million... we're not going to go there, are we?
Well, I don't know, you see, because I really rate KDB. And I think in terms of security and knowing what you're going to get in the Premier League, you have that with KDB. You know that KDB is a top, top quality player. He's often overlooked because the Pep roulette, premiums elsewhere, everything else, that means that as FPL managers, we often kind of go, oh, it's a little bit expensive. Maybe I'll go all Foden, he's a bit cheaper, or Mahrez. Some people like to just go on a little tangent over there every now and then just because cheaper and save budget. But what I find myself looking at KDB thinking, a fully fit KDB and a team that's got a proper striker in it is highly attractive to me. Now, given that he has the Premier League experience, the pedigree, all of that stuff, I do lean towards wanting to own him, like, because I just know what I'm going to get with KDB in a way that you don't know with Haaland what you're getting in the Premier League yet. You will do within a game, probably a couple of pre-season games. So I'm going to be watching Haaland. His price tag, obviously, and the fact he's cheaper than KDB puts him on top of the pile for me, just on price points. But if I don't see a lot from him in pre-season, or we don't start to see him hitting the ground running, then going with KDB, to me, is the safe, nice pick where you almost guarantee yourself points, particularly in those early fixtures.
I just think they've overpriced him. I think 12 million is too much for him. If Haaland's 11.5, if they make De Bruyne 11, that gives you a decision to make. Bearing in mind the strike, you've got to pick a striker, right? And you can only really have two premiums. You maybe three at a real push. But you're going to have Salah at number one. So he's going to be in everyone's. I've got Fulham in the first game. He's just signed a new contract. There's absolutely no way anyone's going to go without Salah. So then you're looking at KDB, Haaland and Son, all that are going to be around that 11 million, 12 million mark. You've got to have a forward, unless you go ultra... But you've got to play one forward. We don't have a huge amount of options. We're going to talk about like Tony and players like that in a bit. But that's why Haaland is so attractive, because you can play him as that one forward and have him every week and then stack your midfield with good options. De Bruyne takes up a midfield slot. He's expensive. Haaland's going to be on pens as well. I guarantee you, you will not. If Haaland's fit going into the first game of the season, there's no way you're going to pick De Bruyne over Haaland. I don't believe it.
See, for me, there is this element of, you know, I think back to a couple of seasons ago when we sat together at Fest in pre-season and everyone had Werner and I didn't have Werner. I decided to go completely against the grain. And I remember saying to, I don't know if it was you or if it was David Monday or some whoever was sitting next to me at the time, after the deadline passed, like, oh, I think I might have absolutely messed up here, because the whole of Fest, in fact, the whole world seemed to have gone with Werner and he never hit the ground running. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Haaland, but there is a bit of me that goes, I think the cautious, slightly cautious FPL manager in me looks around the other players. So I think I went with a different Chelsea player. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Mount or somebody like that instead of him. Somebody who had that kind of Premier League. And there is a little bit of me that thinks KDB, it's just that security blanket with him that no, I know that he'll perform. He'll start the season. He's also not injured. He's going to start the season well. He's going to play all the time. I have a real thing about KDB and I love owning him in FPL. I really enjoy owning him. I do agree with you. I think had they priced him at 11.5, both of them, it's a conversation, definitely, because the midfield spot, absolutely, 100% right.
I think he's a little bit too much. I mean, let me flip a question around for you. If you've got to pick one out of De Bruyne or Son, you go for Son.
You are going for Son.
Surely you go for Son, right?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I mean, yes, absolutely, you are. But then I suppose that... So the thing is, and we sort of had this conversation before, when we were talking about fixtures, is that, you know, if you are... It does feel like you're going to be choosing between City and Spurs in some ways, in terms of those, particularly those forward players. Are you going Kane? Are you going Haaland? Are you going KDB? Are you going Son? And I guess I don't see Son coming in the game at 12 million. But I just don't think he gets priced anywhere near there. So I think you're going to have a bigger saving to be had by dropping KDB down to Son. And I suspect that Kane will be more than Haaland. So I think Kane's going to still be 12.5.
Do you? You think Kane will come in at 12? I mean, again, I think that would be too high.
But I think, Kane is the Premier League goal scorer, proven track record, had a terrible start to last season. You look at Kane, if Kane under Conte had been under Conte all season, we'd have seen Kane up there and thereabouts. You know, we went 15 game weeks, he got one goal. Like, it was awful for the beginning of the season last year. So if you take him at the back end of the season as what we should hopefully, as a Spurs fan, see next year, then Son and Kane at elevated or the same price tag as last year in Kane's case feels like the right place to put him. Now, if that's the case, that's putting him above Haaland's price, which maybe doesn't surprise me because that's what they did with Lukaku, adding him into the game. So, yeah, I could see Kane being more. And therefore, when you think about the way you can do it, you can save money by going Haaland and you can save money by going Son. So it makes sense to go with them in that order rather than pay more the other way around.
What I'd like to see is Kane and Son both shift. Well, Son shifted to a forward, Kane coming in at 10.5, Son at 11.
Won't happen. I can't see it. Can you?
I know, but that's what I'd like to see. Because I think if they're both forwards and there's 0.5 in it, I think that gives you a decision to make. If they come in and Kane's more expensive than Son, no one's picking Kane over Son next season, given where Son plays in that side and the fact he's just won the Golden Boot. Or he didn't win the Golden Boot, but he's nearly won the Golden Boot.
No, he did. They tried, didn't they?
He did win the Golden Boot.
Oh, they shared it.
Yeah, of course he did. Yeah, okay. Shared it. So, yeah, I think... It's really interesting one. It's going to be really interesting where they price.
Yeah.
Let's carry on because otherwise we're going to be...
The City defence, though, for me, is the interesting thing here. Because Haaland and KDB, I think you can argue backwards and forwards the case for arguing either of those. But when Cancelo 7 came out, I was like, yeah, I'm on board with that. Like,
underpriced.
I'm happy.
He's like, underpriced.
But
he's
underpriced. I don't know about you, but his 7 million is how I felt last season when Trent was priced at 7.5. I remember thinking, or whatever he was, yes. And I remember thinking, bargain, I want you. And I felt the same with Cancelo until I saw the cheeky little price tags that they've put on Diaz and Walker. And then I was suddenly like, oh, hang on.
Well, we'll come to those in a minute. Let's talk about Cancelo just quickly first. Because, I mean, he is a 200-point player. Right.
Great. Yeah.
You could now get for 7 million. This is the problem with pricing him at 7 million. There's no decision to be made there.
I don't think about it.
You're going to. Well, I do moan about it a little bit because I think if you make him 7.5, you or even 8, you at least Well, at least,
if you price him at 8, how are you going to price Trent? 9?
8, 5, 9. Ooh. These are 200 plus point regular. Like, you know, I mean, okay, Cancelo's only done it once. Maybe 7, 7, 5 is about right. But Trent, you know, if Trent comes in at 7, 5, which I think he could do. I think if Cancelo's 7, I don't know if they're going to make. I think Trent could be 8, 5. Should be 8, 5. But he's not going to be.
1.5 million more than Cancelo.
He's not going to be 1.5 million more than Cancelo. Just can't
I
see
I wouldn't
it.
Have thought so. One, I think he'll be 8. I think they'll put him up 0.5.
Yeah, 8 would be good. But I think Cancelo at 7, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to start the season without Cancelo in my team for 7 million. A player who's only going to kick on next year. City aren't going to get less clean sheets. He's probably going to get more attacking returns.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a 250-point player next season for 7 million. Absolute.
Like, and he's become like steel. The stat, like he's just ever present, isn't it? What I was in 21, 22 anyway. And I don't see that changing. I think he'll be the consistent part of that, of Pep's plans defensively. The others might rotate around a little bit here and there. But if he's fit and available, Cancelo's going to play, is my reading of it. So at 7 million, I was very, very pleased to see that come out. And then the other two, you kind of go, oh, I could save a bit of money. And then you go, you know what I could do? I could just double up. Because actually, they're nicely priced.
It's interesting that you say please, because Delia's in the chat as well. Delia says, I don't understand why people complain that players are too cheap. I guess I'm looking at it from like the way in which I can get a steal or a march over other players. I want people mm-hmm. to not consider Cancelo and go with other players or have at least have that decision to make. I just think Cancelo and mm-hmm. Trent, that's going to be two of our 15.
Mm-hmm.
And Salah, that's three of your 15. So that means you've now only got 12 spots to play with because everyone's going to have those three players.
Yeah, but see, I kind of like this because what that basically means is that you then have to take risks on your differentials. And that's kind of the way I like to play the game. Like, I like to play FPL by looking to find somebody random whose underlying stats are just ticking along, but that their eye test is passing, or that they're not really passing the eye test, but the underlying stats there and nobody's invested in, because then I've got, you know, the standard picks that we've had so far that are probably going to be in most people's team. You know, we talked about the Arsenal guys earlier, the City guys, like there's going to be a few of them. I'm sure that, we know, when we get prices from other teams or the game goes live and we get the whole lot, then we're going to start to be able to go, oh yeah, this one, this one, this one. But then I don't mind the fact that everyone's going to have Trent. I don't mind the fact that everyone's going to have Cancelo, Salah, whoever it is, even Haaland at 11.5. I don't mind that, because then the fun bit is, all right, how do I make the rest of my squad, the kind of dead spots that nobody really cares about? I really enjoy making them work. That's, for me, one of the best bits of FPL. So I don't mind the fact that there's going to be some budget available for making better choices in those positions, because those positions can win you mini leagues.
Yep. Well, talking about other positions, we have got some absolute bargains in the City side. I mean, aside from those two locks, I mean, you mentioned Walker and Diaz. Walker coming in at 5, Diaz at 6. That's your defence. And then midfield, I mean, Grealish falling down to 7. You know, if Sterling leaves and he can lock down that left-hand spot and have a better season,
mm-hmm.
which I think he's more than capable of. Silva coming in at 7 as well. No price rise for him. Great first half of the season and then kind of dipped off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Gundogan at 7.5, Foden at 8, Mahrez at 8, and Sterling, who could well be on his way to Chelsea, at 10 million.
Sterling at 10?
Yeah,
If at City, I'm not about. If it's Chelsea and regularly starting, I love that as a price point.
See, that's a good price. That is a tantalising price at 10 million for Sterling. You price Sterling at, you know, 11, 11.5.
Yeah, you're not going there.
If he's 10 starting for Chelsea, he's going to be a factor for us next
definitely.
Season.
Definitely, totally.
What do you think of Foden and Mahrez, both at 8?
Well, I think Foden is a really nice price at 8. I think, you know, he puts him again alongside Saka, who we talked about this morning. Having them in that kind of bracket, you're making those choices then. And, you know, I said this morning, Saka will be, you know, straight in my team sheet because the fixtures are nice. Well, putting Foden alongside him makes for an interesting conversation, because if I am going Haaland up top, I probably do want more than one City attacker. So to be able to then get Foden in the midfield as well at the same price point, knowing I can move to these other ones as the game time changes or fixtures or whatever, I think he's really nice. I don't think many people are going to go Mahrez, because I think you're going to go Foden and then potentially Grealish, depending upon what happens at City over the course of the summer, you can save a million there by coming down. So I think my immediate reaction is you go Foden. And then if Grealish is the player that we thought he might be but hasn't shown yet at City, then you move down to him.
Yeah. There's no player that I can ever remember in FPL. My own feelings are so widely different. I regard him, Mahrez, as one of the best players in the league. Best technical ability, best touch, game changer on his day.
Yeah,
he is
absolutely
my number one most hated FPL player that there is. And I think the reason why people are going for him is because obviously Jesus has left now, or he's leaving for Arsenal.
Yeah.
At the moment, there's three players competing for the left, Sterling, Foden, yeah, and Grealish. No one on the right competing with Mahrez. So that's why people are looking at that and thinking, actually,
but it's Mahrez.
But it's Mahrez. That's my point I was making on Twitter earlier. My point is, whenever you think Mahrez is a good option, he's not.
I remember doing the FPL show multiple times when Jules was still hosting it.
Oh, yeah.
And Jules going, but what about Mahrez? And I'll be going, you just can't trust the game time. You can't trust that he's going to play. All of this stuff makes Mahrez really, really hard to pick. And I still look at him now and go, oh, yeah, 8 million, that feels nice. No, thanks. Just because I don't believe that game time is going to be enough and that he will return enough FPL points. Whereas I think, you know, you look at Foden, I would expect that the game time will be there. I would expect the points would be there. I just trust Foden a little bit more.
I think we're going to see a front three of Haaland, Grealish and Foden. I think that's going to end up being the preferred front three for Pep. I mean, Grealish is a bit of a doubt because obviously he's not had a poor season last year. Mm-hmm. It's whether Pep can kind of get the most out of him. I don't believe that he's finished, or, you know, I think you see him for England, you know, changing the game. He just needs to get that kind of
regular time, isn't it?
Regular
and
time.
Position.
Get that position sorted, work out exactly, because he goes off too wide and he acknowledges that, and he hasn't got the same kind of confidence that he has when he plays with England. But mm-hmm. I can't see Mahrez again. I mean, there's five subs. Pep made the least subs in the league of all managers last season. So yeah, people thinking that five subs is going to boost Mahrez, it's not. So, yeah, I don't know. I like the prices for them both. I think they could both be options, but I will most likely be steering clear, I think, when the season
both
starts. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's talk about Walker and Diaz quickly. Defenders, Walker at five. That is cheap. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, if City don't sign a Cucurella or someone, Walker at five is a bit of a steal, isn't it?
Yeah, suddenly. I mean, the thing is that every year we all, at some point during the season, we go, should we double up? City, Liverpool. It happens every year. At some point this season, it's going to happen again. And at Liverpool, you kind of go, well, that's a lot of money. Well, you certainly did last couple of seasons, you know, because Robertson's been expensive and Trent's been expensive and Van Dijk's been up there and thereabouts with the expensive. And last season, all right, we had a little bit of Simicast love here and there, but it's hard to own the double up because you just got to take some money out of elsewhere. And it's been historically similar at City, although Cancelo's never been quite this smart, you know, so we've kind of had that, like, maybe there's been less of a difference. But Diaz and Cancelo look like they're ownable together at 6 and 7 million. You could double up on those. It's not costing you a lot. But Walker, it looks like an absolute steal. If City don't sign anyone else in that position, then City having Kyle Walker in that position at 5 million, absolute bargain.
I'm not really sure what the logic is of pricing him at five. Because,
well, it's great. Don't moan.
Well, I think it is. I think in a way it is great. I think this is the kind of, like, because if Walker's 5, 5, 6, you're never going to go there.
No, but you are at five.
Again, it's that carrot just thinking, right, actually, if this guy can get regular starts,
yeah,
you know, he could, and with City's fixtures, he could be an absolute steal. It all just depends on what City do kind of in the transfer window, obviously.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, they're
light. They're light at fullback. So they're going to have to sign someone. I mean, how they're light at fullback, I don't know. It seems every year they spend about 100 million on fullbacks, but they're light again. So they're coming after Cucurella, obviously.
Priced at the same.
Yep, priced at the same, 5 million as well.
Easy move.
Yeah.
FPL-wise.
Yeah, I think if Cucurella signs, it makes things a lot more difficult to predict because he can play at left back, which is obviously Cancelo's where he's been playing. So then Cancelo would have to switch over to right back, and then Cucurella play, or, you know, it could give Walker a rest. So he'd be a perfect signing for them, really. But
You don't want to sell him.
Yeah, I don't want to, really don't. You know, even if we get 40, 50 million, I think he's going to be a huge loss. Forest.
Interesting though, isn't it? Because I think the City defence, for the first time in ages, because as you know, I hate the defensive double up when I play FPL, it stresses me royally. But for the first time in ages, this is a team that I've looked at the price releases for and gone, I already can see I'm going to double up here. Because there's real value to be had with Diaz and Walker, if particularly if nobody signs in that position. Walker, we know he can be a great asset. Like, he's been a good fantasy asset for years. And if he gets regular game time down in that wing-back slot, he'll be absolutely fantastic at 5 million. And if he's not, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because you can move across to Tierney. We've already seen that. We can easily move to Cucurella if he's doing well at Brighton. Like, there's going to be other 5 million defenders that also look attractive options. So if for any reason you start the season with Walker and then they do sign somebody else or he's not getting the regular game time, it will be an easy move away to a different 5 million defender.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about Walker is he's unlikely to come on. He's either going to start or he's not. I can't see Pep messing around with that fullback position, given that he doesn't make many subs anyway.
No.
And, you know, I mean, they have got 5 subs now, but, you know, I can't really see that happening. I guess the negative is it blocks a City spot for you. So say you start with Haaland, Cancelo and Walker, and then Foden emerges from the first 2 weeks, you know, playing on the left, scoring loads of goals, really creative, and you want to get him in. Obviously, you then have to take Walker out, bring Foden in. It creates a bit of a
problem. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah.
Looking to refresh your closet, home or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, let's move over from City to Brentford. We're going to talk about Ivan Tony. Ivan Tony, first of all, I've got some stats on Ivan Tony. This is again from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. This is the stats tables, example of the stats tables that you can put together. So all I've done here is just look at all matches, players that play 360 minutes or more, looked at the forward position, and sorted by expected goal involvement over the season. So number one is your best friend, Harry Kane.
Hooray!
Number two is one of the world's best ever players, Cristiano Ronaldo. No cheer. And number three is a Brentford forward whose name is Ivan Tony, with 18.2 expected goal involvement over the season, which is, you know, Ronaldo's was 19.98, Kane's was 25.25. So Kane was by far the leading kind of forward last season.
And you want to bring him down in price, as?
Yeah, I know. I'm terrible, aren't I? He's 12.5. You want to bring him down to 12, I think. So
I mean, I'll pay 100 million on a whole budget.
But I mean, look at some of these stats. I mean, Tony, he wasn't really the kind of goal-scoring machine that we'd seen him be kind of in the Championship.
No, but none of them are they? Like, you know, Mitrovic, when he's come up in previous seasons, hasn't lived up to the hype of the Championship. Pukki is always incredible in the Championship, never quite, as much as I love Pukki, never quite hits the Premier League hype. So, but then do they have to? You know, we're talking about a player that's significantly cheaper. I mean, what is he, 7 this year? Mm-hmm. It's still, for me, that is still great price. Like when he was 7, that Brentford announcement, I was like, yes, that is a lot of managers investing. When you look at the fixtures that Brentford have got between now and game week 10, in particular, like roll it out over a period of time, they're right up at the top of the fixture ticker. Compare that with the stats that you've just reeled out, where you can only really compare him last season to some of the best premium assets in the forward position. Why on earth is, like, you can't overlook him. He's great.
And just to mention some of his other stats, I mean, shots inside the box, which is, you know, a forward who's taking shots in the box, that's the most dangerous place they could be taking them. That is third best in the league as well. So to Kane and Ronaldo, Kane with 86, Ronaldo with 88, Tony with 72. Then you've got Antonio with 67, Pukki with 61, Gabriel Jesus with 55, so it goes down. You know, touching the penalty area, 167 for Tony. You know, that's putting him sort of, you know, well in with all the other kind of players around. These stats aren't indicating that this player isn't like an attacking, threatening player. Mm-hmm. It tells me that he's underperformed on some of these on these things next season.
Yeah,
I'm expecting that, you know, the first season's difficult for a new Pruitt team. The second season is often difficult as well. But I think, you know, with the confidence, they need to make sure they get a creative player in. You know, if they're losing Eriksen, he's on pens though at 7 million, good fixtures. I think he's going to be really, really popular.
I do too. I mean, I can see him being in my team.
Yep.
7 million is nice. I think 7 million is the right price for me, for him. That feels absolutely right. He's gone up enough to credit all the great stuff he did last season. Without going too high, then it makes you go, that's a lot of money and I can't really justify that. I'd rather get somebody in that's 6.5. You know, when you look at the forwards that we've had so far being released that have been cheaper. So we've got, obviously got Nketiah, it's the same price as Tony. Well, Tony, for me, is a better option than Nketiah, particularly with Jesus in that conversation as well now. And then you look across at, say, Brighton, who we'll get to, but, you know, I do know you love us mentioning them. And you look at the likes of Maupay and Welbeck, who are just a little bit cheaper. And he, for me, is a long way above them in terms of wanting or desire to own them. So he's got to be 7. He can't be cheaper than that. Had he gone much higher, though, and there would have been a conversation to be had about, do I pay that much for a Brentford forward? At 7, perfect, I think.
Yep, I completely agree. I mean, the kind of the decision, I think, was before we saw the fixtures, I think a lot of people were thinking Tony versus Mitrovic, for example, in that kind of mid-range spot. Maybe add Watkins into that, but I'm not so enamoured with him. But I mean, look at Fulham's fixture list, first 5. Liverpool, Wolves, Brentford, Arsenal, Brighton. Those are 5 good defensive sides.
Yeah.
And you look at Tony's, Leicester, United, Fulham, Everton, Palace, much better.
Then roll it out further and it's even nicer.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, so you, I think, you know, you said Haaland will be up there with the, you know, 50% owns. I would put Tony, if from my opinion, I'll be surprised if the actual FPL community that pay real attention to the game don't all own Tony going into game week 1.
Yep, I agree with that. I think he could fly under the radar, generally speaking, because he didn't go absolutely crazy last season and all of that. But looking at the strikers for the 7.5, I don't think there's not going to be anyone better than him.
I agree.
Let's take a look at some of the other Brentford players. So Canos isn't on this list that I've got on the screen, but he's been reclassified as a defender from a midfielder. So he's your kind of wing back.
5 million.
5 million, so a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got all the kind of Brentford defenders coming, all the other defenders coming in at 4.5. You've got Visser there at 5.5, could be interesting. He finished the season strongly. And then look at this, Mbeumo. Brian Mbeumo, who burnt us all so many times last season. He's now been reclassified as a forward. And that is interesting. I mean, we were talking to Neil about it earlier in the chat, weren't we?
And, we were.
Neil said he predominantly played top of the spear, 3-5-2.
Yeah.
Son has been playing top of that in a 3-5-2. That's the most interesting thing I can take from this Mbeumo reclassification.
You're obsessed with Son. You're just sitting there waiting for Spurs, aren't you?
I just got to know. Because I think if Son's a mid, I think it's really interesting. If he's a forward, then it's harder. But I think he should be a forward, given where he's playing. That's the thing for me. I don't know if he will be classified as a forward, but I think he should be. And I look at Mbeumo moving to a forward, and I think, you know, that's basically the same role that Son's playing.
I want to leave somewhere it. Quite happy with him being in midfield. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, I mean, everything you've just said and everything Neil said does make sense. They do play a very similar role. I don't know. I think the fact that Mbeumo only really seems to play there, but Son can play in other positions and he can move around, maybe keeps him as a midfielder. We'll find out at some point, won't we, where they classify him. But the movement of Mbeumo up top, it kind of does detract from him a little bit for me. Mm. Now, I'm fully not interested. I'll probably end up with him in my team at some point because that seemed to own him a lot last year. He just always ended up there.
How did you do, Sam?
Terribly. But he just always seemed to end up back in my, until I had Eriksen instead. But I don't know. I think it's 6 million as a forward, again, I think in the forward price, though, it's about right. It's below the other kind of key forwards, like the Brighton forwards that you have. He's got to come in less than them because he's not their main striker in the same way that Welbeck and Maupay are. But Mbeumo, it's only a million less than Tony. You'd find a million, wouldn't you? You'd save a million elsewhere to have Tony over Mbeumo, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Well, I do definitely agree with that. There's no way I'm getting a Bombo. Not after last season. He did score a penalty for me last season, which was one of my best moments. But
Raya is interesting, though, isn't he? Because suddenly,
yes. Why haven't I got Raya? I did. Hang on, let me click this one. That could be anything, actually. Raya was actually the one I wanted to talk about the most because that's my goalkeeper sorted. 4-5 for Raya,
along with Sanchez at Brighton.
Done.
Rotating goalkeepers, happy days.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the two of them together, like actually when the Brentford price dropped happened, I was sat there thinking, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Like they were a team where I was looking at thinking so much good value here. Like with Tony, that he's a good value, but with Raya in particular, great quality keeper. Had he been able to stay fit all of last season, would have, you know, exceeded the points that he did get, obviously over the course of the year. Brentford, second season in the Premier League. They know where they're getting, what they're getting into this year. Hopefully they'll do some strengthening. Alongside Sanchez at 4.5, who I just seem to think I own every year for the whole season, pretty much. But at 4.5, Brighton are a secure defensive unit. Mm. And, you know, those two goalkeepers at 4.5 each look like great options to own together. Now, yes, you could probably find a 4 million goalkeeper somewhere along the lines that you could have instead and not rotate. But if you can find the 0.5 to have two good quality keepers like that, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me.
Again, coming back to the members area of Scout, looking at the goalkeeper tables, this is filter. This is all goalkeepers in the league who've played 380 minutes and filtered by minutes per FPL point. You've got your three big guns at the top, Alisson, Edison and Lloris. Alisson and Edison both 6 million, likely to be 6 million again. Lloris was 5.5. And then you look at some of these other players. You've got Guaita, interestingly, 22.3.
I wonder how much he'll be.
Yeah, I think if he comes in at 4.5, then I'm very interested. Saar is there. He's 22.5, so not a huge amount of difference. But obviously, he's a 5 million goalkeeper. And then you've got Raya. So he's next on the list, 22.7. That's equal with Ramsdale.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks about how amazing Ramsdale was for the most part of last season. Well, when they played together, Raya got exactly the same points as him. So I think Raya at 4-5, he's going to be the 4-5 steal of the season. I think Brentford are a good side, good defensively. You know, they're well organised and well drilled. He makes more saves than someone like Sanchez.
Yeah.
I really like that at 4-5. I'll definitely be going there.
Yeah, I think I will too.
Yep. Let's talk about Brighton then.
Go on then.
I'll just
sit here while you wax lyrical about Brighton.
Well, I think Brighton are actually, when I saw Brighton were the next team, I was like, oh, that's going to be a bit boring. But, you know, I've been a bit kind of harsh on some of the prices, but I think they've absolutely
nailed.
You can't
think your own team's going to be boring.
Well, it is. If I said to you what Brighton players you could have in your game week one side.
Well, probably would have been Sanchez because I always have him.
But apart from Sanchez.
I mean, the one for me was Lamptey. Like, I was so excited to see Lamptey.
Hang on, we'll get to Lamptey. We've got to have structure. We will come to Lamptey. Let's talk about Cucurella.
Okay, go on then.
Quickly. So he's in at 5 million as a defender.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays at Brighton, he's a no-go for me. Because of exactly what you just said, you've got Lamptey there. The one actually, and I'm going to break all the structure now because
you kind of got me for breaking structure and then break all the structure.
Breaking it, the structure's gone. It's a blur. Dunk coming down from 5 to 4.5. That's big.
I won't talk about it because it's not in the right order. No, I agree. I do agree. I think, you know, at 5 million, Dunk is like no thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
At 4.5, suddenly we these 4.5 defenders today has been so nice, hasn't it? Like we've got Tomiyasu at Arsenal.
Guys. Yeah, yeah.
Got the basically the whole of the Brentford defence that we can choose from, apart from Canos. And then we come over to Brighton and we've got Duncan Lamptey, who, again, both of them offering great potential. We know what Dunk's capable of. We've had him in our teams for years and years and years. He is a very, very talented 4.5 million FPL defender. At five, it was like, I don't want to spend five on you, but a 4.5, he's back in the conversation again for me.
Yeah, well, I think Cucurella had to be priced at five because they can't price him at 4.5 if in case he goes to City. And they can't price him at 5.5 because he's not really a 5.5, 6 million defender. I mean, he played the end of last season at centre-back for us. And even when he was at wing-back, he wasn't really getting the attacking returns. But I think he is, if he stays at Brighton and he's moved back to wing-back, I think you could be tempted by the extra 0.5 because he should have more attacking threat than Duncan and Lamptey. Lamptey's got the injury problems kind of there as well. But personally, I think Cucurella leaves.
So. Would you... straight choice between the Brighton 4.5s, though, because that's what it's going to come down. Most people are going to end up with one of these Brighton 4.5s, probably, in their team. So... Dunk over Lamptey, Lamptey over Dunk?
I think so. I'd start with Dunk, I think. Lamptey is one of my favourite players when he's fit and flying down that wing. He was managed a lot last season. And those minutes really got managed towards the end. And, you know, I just wonder what's going to happen with him. Like he's going to have, pre-season's going to be big. If he's playing a lot of minutes pre-season, he comes into the team, then yes. But, I mean, Veltman is good. Like, Veltman did a good job for us at right wing back. And I still worry that they're going to kind of try and manage that as best they can.
Because he's one we haven't got a price for, isn't he, at the moment, Veltman? So I imagine he'll be in and around that same
position.
He'll
be 4.5. Yeah. He'll be 4.5 again. I just think there's more risk with that. Whereas Dunk, I think 4.5 for Dunk, I just think that's a good price. He's got goal threat. He takes the odd free kick. He's going to play every game. You know, I would feel reluctant to pay the extra 0.5 if they're the same price. As much as I love Lamptey, I think I would probably go for Dunk. The next one. Oh, sorry, come.
No, go on. I just love Lamptey.
Just love Lamp. Yes, I do. He's lovely. Trossard is a 6.5 million midfielder. I mean, talk about player classifications. I bet FPL Towers looked at Trossard and went, well, we could play him as a forward, a defender, or a midfielder.
He could go anywhere apart from as a goalie.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn up there next season, to be honest. He plays absolutely everywhere. He finished the season at left wing back with Cucurella moving to centre back. He played the majority of the season up front with Mope.
Yeah.
Rarely played sort of in the actual midfield spot, but he can play. I mean, Potter is a maniac. He just does what he wants. But 6.5, he's had a price rise. He was 6 million last season. He's got up to 6.5 this season. Nah, it's quite a lot of money, I think.
It's quite a lot of money.
I think they could have kept him at 6.
But equally, he is the best attacking player in your team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you're going to price, I don't think you can price more Pye and Welbeck at 6. Or I think they have to be 6.5. They can't be the same as Mbeumo. So then Trossard has to at least be level with them, doesn't he? If not, a little bit higher. So I think he has to come up level with where they're putting Maupay and Welbeck. Like, to me, on paper, yes, if he'd have been 6, I'd have been happier. But I can see why he's 6.5. He's the most attacking Brighton player. He's most likely to get attacking returns. Yeah. Arguably your best player.
Well, he is our best player. He just hasn't really delivered from. I wouldn't say he had the season. Yeah, apart from Lamptey, I wouldn't say he had the season last season that warranted a price hike.
It's not really a massive hike, though, is it? It's 0.5.
No,
I think if it had been, if he was 7, it would be a no go. But at 6.5, I think there's still some value there, depending upon who else ends up priced at that price point. Like if you compare him across to maybe like who else have we got there? We've got Ødegaard from Arsenal at 6.5, probably worth more than Ødegaard, to be honest, in terms of attacking potential. But he's got to be cheaper than Grealish. So
I mean, I think it's because like we talked about Vissa, he's 5.5. I think like if I'm using that spot to try and find like a 6.5.5 option, like a budget option, because you know I'm getting Haaland, Salah, some expensive defenders and stuff. I just
getting
can't
Kane.
See. I can't see how Trossard at 6.5 really fits into that. He's not going to be someone I mean, looking at the squad, for example, we got Pascal Gross at 5.5.
At 5.5,
he's a cheap one. I mean, I've had him in previous seasons and he's been brilliant. McAllister as well, 5'5", a really good player. Be interesting to see how he fits into the side. One I like, though, one I really want to push this preseason is Undav, Dennis Undav. Mm-mm. So he's our kind of... We're signing quite a few different strikers. We've signed like an 18-year-old Paraguayan striker. But we've got Undav in. Undav was the main target. He's actually come from the club, a club that our owner owns in Belgium, I believe. So okay. He owns two clubs. And basically this guy came in, he was absolutely brilliant, and now Tony Bloom's bought him over from there. He's 5.5 million. I don't know whether he's going to start straight away because the Mopé, Welbeck, Trossard thing worked well for us at the end of last season. But I can absolutely guarantee that he comes into the side. He's our first choice striker at some point next season. And when he comes in, I think 5.5 is such a good price for him. He's going to get goals. He's going to get goals for us. He's going to convert them.
The thing, isn't it, with Brighton, is that you've always created chances.
Yep.
You just never convert them.
We don't have to stick them away.
Yep. It's always the same. So in terms of Brighton players, in the past in FPL, it's always been invest in the defenders because solid defence, get clean sheets. Sanchez picks up some save points here and there. There's bonus points around for the defenders when they keep clean sheets because they're never high scoring games. So that's where it's always been. If you suddenly get in a forward who actually plays regularly, sits in a nice formation where everything works and finishes his dinner,
yep,
then great. Now, if that forward happens to also cost 5.5 million in FPL, then you're absolutely laughing because suddenly that third forward spot, which sometimes ends up as a burner spot, depending upon if you've got budget elsewhere, you know, some people just go, oh, like Richardson seems to have just been, he was a favourite last year with people going, I'm just not interested in the third spot. I'm going to spread the budget. I'll have Richardson. It could now be that you don't need the burner spot because at 5.5, if he's playing, you've got a really nice option there. So yeah, he'll be on the watch list. Let's see how preseason pans out, how Potter's playing him, how he's setting up the system. But he does look attractive, that's for sure.
He does. And a few people saying in the chat, you know, five subs, I think benefits a team like Brighton because Potter's not really like Pep. He likes to make changes in the game. Sometimes he makes too many changes and subs everyone off. But I think of all the strikers we're going to see around 5 million, Undav is going to be the one that gets the most minutes.
Do you think that the five sub rule might be off-putting when it comes to Brighton? Because, like you say, Potter does love a sub and a change about. And I do worry a little bit that, you know, particularly because I think I've made it quite clear that I quite fancy owning Lamptey this season. But I do have some concerns that, you know, we might get some 59th minute subs because he can more so do that this year and he can protect him in terms of his injury, you know, and everything else. So I do somewhat worry that when you've got a group of players that can play up top in the way that you will now have with Ndov and Mopay and Welbeck, that you could get a bit of a carousel going on.
We don't have any players that I'd feel completely comfortable saying they are nailed on first choice players. And that includes Dunk. I mean, look at Webster. Webster was our best player last season.
Sanchez is the only one.
Webster, well, yeah, I mean, he is, but also he wasn't that great last season.
No, but he's the only one that really won't probably get changed out.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought so. But I mean, Webster was a perfect example, though, because he was our best centre-back, and then he got injured, came back from injury, thought he'd be straight back in the team. Oh, no, now Cucurella's playing on the left centre-back. And, you know, he likes to change things around. But the one thing we don't have, and this is what you touched on, is a striker that can put the ball in the net. If Undav has a good pre-season and hits the ground running in the first few games, he could be that player who's number one on the team sheet.
I mean, if he is, we'll all, FPL fans and managers alike, will have a little party. Because a 5.5 million forward, regularly playing, for a team that creates a lot of chances, because I think Brighton are often overlooked offensively because they haven't been able to finish their chances. And they've been rightly overlooked up until now because they don't score enough goals. But if they then have somebody that actually converts those chances that they make regularly, he won't be 5.5 for long. He'll be price jumps all left, right, and centre.
Yeah, to me, from everything I've read and seen, he's an upgrade on Mopé and Welbeck. So I would expect him to come into the team and be first choice striker next season. So he's definitely one to watch. Definitely one to watch pre-season. And yeah, I think he'll be a factor for us next year, which is quite exciting as a Brighton fan, because we've never really had a striker where I've been able to say that for. So, or we're just cursed and he'll just miss every chance. But I mean, the fixtures are good for us though. I mean, United, Newcastle, West Ham, Leeds, Fulham. It's a good first five.
I look at Brighton and Brentford, both of them, both got nice fixtures to start the season, both great value for money in there. I'm almost more excited, ridiculously, I'm almost more excited about the Brighton and the Brentford price releases than I am about the Arsenal and the Man City ones. Man,
I'm definitely voice snapping that.
I am, because they are, honestly, I look at them and think there's such good value in those two teams. Like, that is how you budget for these expensive players that we're all going to want. You know, we're already talking about Saka and Haaland and Grealish and Cancelo. Like, that's only going to get worse as we get more prices. So now I'm looking at this thinking, well, I've got a choice. I can have, I've got multiple 4.5 million defenders that I can have. I can have the Brentford ones if I want, but I've got some really nice options at Brighton. Plus, I've got rotating goalkeepers already in Brighton and Brentford. And then if you're right, and Undav does become first choice and he is going to finish his dinner, then I've got a 5.5 million forward, and I've got Ivan Toney at 7 million.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yep. It's a good price for him, 5.5. I like it, because, you know, he is new to the league. He is unproven. I think you've got to price Mope and Welbeck, you know, higher, even though I do like Welbeck, but I wouldn't ever have him in my team. Yeah, we'll see. Right, I think that's us done for the day. Before we go, just another reminder to check out Fantasy Football Scout. I've got the article here, which is like live updates of everything. So if you want more information about, you know, what these prices mean, the likes of Haaland, you know, great article, great editorial stuff on the site as well. So check that out on Fantasy Football Scout. And of course, as I mentioned in the last video, we've got a last season's prices, if you want to sign up as a member and use kind of the tools that I'm talking about in these videos, that's only going to go on for another week and then the price goes up. So if you're interested in that, make sure you head over to the site and sign up before that ends. But Sam, have a good weekend. I'll be doing another stream tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get some more prices. But you and I will be back, I imagine, on Monday.
Wow. Maybe. Depends if you're nice to me or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm always nice to you. What are you talking about?
Cool. See you later. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye.